right. Well, welcome to part one of a brand new series, My Best Friend, and tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment. But before we do anything else, let me welcome all those that are now joining us online. Glad to have you along for the ride. Come on, everyone. Let's welcome everyone that's joining us right now. And I hope everyone is doing great. Had a phenomenal Easter service last Sunday, and just a great crowd. Decisions were made last week for Christ, which is what this thing is really all about. And so really still rejoicing over that and looking forward to what God is going to do today. And so whether you're here in this service or you're watching through the internet, we're so glad to have you. And I believe God has a specific word for you today. Let me just jump right into this series. This is a new series that is actually on the person of the Holy Spirit. I believe this is going to be a very timely message. In fact, we're going to do it as a seven-part series that's going to lead us right up into the first Sunday of June, which happens to be Pentecost. Pentecost means 50, and we'll explain more about what Pentecost means. In fact, on Pentecost Sunday, that first Sunday of June, we're going to explain that term Pentecost and what that truly means. I believe it's really going to be beneficial and a blessing to you. It's been a few years since we kind of tackled this topic. We've talked within series, but not in a series of itself. And I've actually been getting a lot of questions about this topic. In fact, in our small group on Tuesday evenings, it's a small group where we just ask, there's different questions we ask about the Bible, what the Bible has to say about different things, as we're studying a book that's written with 100 questions about what the Bible has to say about certain things. And we're right now in these questions about the Holy Spirit. And last Tuesday, we were in this discussion, and I said, I realize that a couple nights of this just will not cover this. So we're actually doing a seven-part series. And so I encourage you to make sure you are getting all of these. There are message notes that are there in your worship guide. You can follow along. There'll be fill-in-the-blank places there for you as you follow along. Also, online, after this is posted, you can go to our website, and that will have the message notes there for you that you can download and use as well. So be sure and utilize yourself of these, and avail yourself of these tools. Also, I want to encourage you to invite others to join in on this study, whether they can be here in person. We have a lot of people that join us from out of state, and I want to encourage you, be sure and invite your friends. In fact, if you're here today, go ahead and check into Crosspoint if you haven't already, and invite others to join us. We're live now, and they can just be a part of this service. I believe this is really going to help some people in a powerful way today, and I hope that I'm going to shed some light on a topic that oftentimes is shrouded with a lot of confusion, a lot of mystery, a lot of controversy. And it ought not be that way, but oftentimes it is. And I believe it's going to be a great study that's going to help us and clear up some things. So one thing I would ask for everyone, and that is that you give me a clean slate. Come on, just give me a blank page on this topic. Because sometimes we've come into this topic with all kind of misgivings, just different things and perspectives, different experiences that we've been through. But what I would invite you to do is to just, let's just have a clean page where we can start fresh and just look simply at what the Bible has to say about this topic. Now, what we'll understand when we begin to do that and look at the Bible is we'll find out that this thing of the Holy Spirit, He is not outdated, and He is actually extremely biblical. It is sound doctrine that we're going to be talking about during this time. So I believe it's going to help us. So let's get right into this. If you'll take your message notes out, and we'll have it here on the screen for you, and our first scripture that's found in Acts chapter 19. And let me just read this for you, beginning in verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. That's just an area of modern-day Turkey. And there he found some disciples. Disciples means that these were followers of Christ. They were followers of Jesus. And he asked them this question. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So understand that these were believers he was talking to, followers of Christ, and he is presenting to them this understanding of the Holy Spirit, and they said, no, we don't even know who he is. And I'm concerned that there may be a lot of Christians that really don't understand who the Holy Spirit is. We haven't heard of him. We've left that subject alone. And so I want to today introduce you in this installment of this series, I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. And so to do that, we're going to ask two primary questions today. The first question is this, and that is, who is he? Who is the Holy Spirit? And first of all, this is your first blank there in your notes, and that's this point. Not very good English, but it makes the point. He is a him, okay? He is a him. So it's not an it. It's not some cosmic, mystical, spiritual force. No, actually, he is a person. He is a person. In the Hebrews, in the King James, we have, and even in the Greek, I should say, the Holy Spirit, when they tried to interpret the word Holy Spirit, there's not a good word for it in the Hebrew or in the Greek. And so in the Bible, the writers, in translating it into English, tried to come up with a word, and it was a good word, but we have the word, in the King James Version, we have the word Holy Ghost. And then in NIV, you'll see the word Holy Spirit. And those are good, but a lot of people get misconceptions about that. Because when we hear the word ghost, a lot of people freak out over the word ghost. You know, spirit, that's a little bit better, but they're not even sure about that. And it's still kind of mystical. You know, because we just don't like ghost. You know, and you say, I just don't do ghost. I'll do the Father, I'll do the Son, but the Holy Ghost, I don't do ghost. So we kind of stiff-arm this topic, but understand that he is a him. I'm going to give you a scripture for that that's found in John chapter 14 and verse 17 that says, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot receive him. Now, this is Jesus talking, and he says, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. So he says, okay, the world doesn't get this. So this is something that believers, it takes to being a believer to really understand this, but it speaks of him and refers to him as a him. And notice this. Now, here's a difference. It says, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now, when we make a mistake around here, we try not to highlight it. We just kind of go on. But we made a big boo-boo in your message notes. We a little typo. We said, for he lives in you and will be in you. You need to take your message notes right now and correct that, because that changes the whole meaning of this. Actually, what the scripture says is, for he lives with you. There's a difference. He's with you, and he will be in you. So there is a difference there. That's just important to know. And it's important to know also that he is a him, that he is a person. Because if you see him not, if you see him not some mystical force, but as a person, you will relate to him personally. And that's important. So point number one is he is a him. Second thing I want us to realize in understanding who he is, and that is this point, and that is he is not weird. Yes, that's your message notes. You say, is that right? Yeah, fill that in. He is not weird. Now, I know some of us may have seen some weird things or heard some weird things regarding the Holy Spirit, and we have attached that to the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not weird. Now, people are weird, but the Holy Spirit is not weird, okay? I've done some weird things, okay? But the Holy Spirit is not weird and not goofy, okay? The Holy Spirit is not weird. We need to understand that, because sometimes we say, well, that's a little weird. I don't want to be a part of that. And quite honestly, I got to tell you that sometimes things have been done that has drawn attention to ourselves, and we have distracted from the Holy Spirit. I think there's a couple of extremes here, you know, when you talk about the Holy Spirit. There's an extreme where, and I grew up in this, so I could speak to this. There's an extreme where you've got this group over here, okay? They're not wearing any makeup, y'all, okay? I'm just saying, okay? And then there's another extreme over here, they're wearing way too much, okay? But I'm just saying there's these two camps that says, hey, it's all about this, and another one says, I don't want anything to do with that. I think there's a balance that we need to understand when it comes to the Holy Spirit, okay? So, Jesus explains the Holy Spirit, and he lets them know that the Holy Spirit is so important that it's important that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. So he's saying he is that important. He's not some weird thing to distance yourself from, but the Holy Spirit is so valuable, so important. Jesus is saying, it's better that I'm not even here, but that the Holy Spirit be here, because if I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Now, that's pretty important, because you're thinking, no, I think that's pretty important if Jesus was here. I mean, wouldn't it be cool if Jesus was here? I mean, how would you like Jesus to show up right now? You know, when you're in a mess, when you're having trouble, like when your dog gets ran over in the street, wouldn't it be great to have Jesus with you? Say, come on, Jesus, let's do that resurrection thing. Just raise that dog right up. Wouldn't that be cool? You know? Or if it's a cat, you know, come on, Jesus. Come on, let's do that funeral thing. Okay? Okay. Sorry, just a little jab for cat people. Love you, mean it. But I want us to relax with this topic, because I think sometimes when we talk about this, there's all kind of tensions. Everybody's got different camps. Everybody gets their defensive thing, and you better word it just right, Pastor, and you better not, you know, hey, look, we need to relax and understand the Holy Spirit is extremely important. Look at what Jesus said about it in the Scripture. He says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So he's not weird. Look at the next point that I think we need to understand when introducing the Holy Spirit, and that is, he is God. He is God. So, when you distance yourself from him and because this is a clouded topic, you need to understand what you're really doing there. The Bible describes him as he's the third person of the Godhead. That's what our theological term there, of the Godhead. But he is God. Let me show you a scripture that's found in Acts chapter 5, where someone lied to the Holy Spirit by the name of Ananias. And look at this. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? He then clarifies in verse 4, you have not lied to men, but to God. So what he's saying there is the Holy Spirit is indeed God. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus speaking, he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he is a third person of the Godhead. And so I just think we need to have a lot of respect. We said we need to respect and honor and revere God. We need to have honor and respect and revere the Holy Spirit. Okay? So there's been a lot of times a lot of poking fun and looking at this group and that group and pointing fingers. And I think we need to be very careful with that when it has to do with the topic of the Holy Spirit. I get actually a little bit of righteous indignation over this thing, because I see people that do not understand, based on their tradition and their theological training, try to cast judgment when, in fact, I see them oftentimes, I shared this with the group Tuesday night, they're skipping over scriptures, backflipping, and putting themselves in a pretzel trying to defend their theology, when they would just take the Word of God and read it as it is. He's understood. So we understand he is a person. He's a him. He's not weird, and he's God. Let me give you another point, and that is something that I hope that you discover, and that is that he is my best friend. So there's a lot of misconceptions about this, but we need to understand that the Holy Spirit has come to be our best friend. Because, look, the Father is in heaven, Jesus is at the right hand of his Father, but the Holy Spirit is the one that's here now, and God has given us his Holy Spirit to be with us. He's the one that is to be close to us while we're on this earth. A prayer at the end of 2 Corinthians, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, concludes this way with this prayer. The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ. Let me just say right there, we need Jesus Christ most important above everything else, because Jesus Christ is the one who paid for our sins. He's the one that paid our debt for us. Why would you pay for your bill when it's already been paid for? Jesus Christ went to the cross and sacrificed his life for us and paid our debt, our sin debt for us, so that we could experience the extravagant love of God. That's the Father. So that we could then have relationship. Without Jesus, we won't have that relationship because of our Master and his grace. Grace is, what is grace? Grace is that thing that you and I didn't deserve. It's the favor of God that we did not deserve. And yet God gave himself for us so that we could experience that relationship with him. He gave his son Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't give my son for you. I love you, but I wouldn't give my son for you. But the Father did that. He gave his son so that we could then, look at this, until we see him face to face, enjoy the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and that he would be with you always. So the Holy Spirit, it talks about an intimate friendship. So he wants us to come close to him and have this relationship with him. And that sometimes is the part that people kind of distance themselves from. And that is, you know, I don't know if I can get close to him. So we've asked this question when introducing the Holy Spirit. Who is he? A second question is then, what does he do? And that's the part we really, okay, now when you talk about what he does, that's when I really kind of, okay, I don't want to go into all that stuff, because that means when you talk about stuff he does, that means that's going to put me in a place where my hair is going to be in a bun and I'm going to come in here playing a tambourine. That's not the case, okay? I'm just saying. We've associated all these things. And if you come in here with playing a tambourine, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to see the worship pastor. He's going to take you through the encounter process of the infused process. Anyway, you don't need to do tambourines and you don't need to be doing the hair in the bun thing. It's not about that. And the reason I say all this, folks, I'm trying to be humorous here, but we have associated certain things with the Holy Spirit, and oftentimes it's scared people off, it's turned them away, and I think it's a trick of the enemy. I think it's a trick of the enemy to distract so that you'll never really enter into an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to read the Bible, and in the Bible, Jesus gives us five things that the Holy Spirit will do. He will do. In fact, all you have to do is you take John chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16, and if you outline that in there, you'll find five things of what the Holy Spirit will do. So we take the He wills out of that those three chapters, and we find out what He will do. In John chapter 13, Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet. They've enjoyed the Last Supper. We know this is the Thursday night before he's to be crucified on Friday. And so that night before he would go to the cross, somewhere between that Last Supper and the garden, whether it's there at the Last Supper or they're walking on the way, Jesus has this conversation with them, and that's John chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16. And so we know that Jesus, and he knows he's about to be crucified. And yet, what does he talk about? What does he tell his disciples? The entire discussion is about the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, this is that important. I'm about to leave you, and what you need to know before I leave you is to understand and receive the Holy Spirit. And if you get close to him, here's what he will do. Number one, look at that on your message, on the back page there. Number one, he will be with me. John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That word counselor is in the Greek is the word parakletos, which really means someone who has a calling to stand right beside you all the time. The way this verse this word would often be used is if you were picking up a long log, it would be that person that would pick up the other end of that log. That person that's going to be with you and is going to help you. So this Holy Spirit who is with you is not just for church services. It's not just for Sunday morning. It is for for you all through your week. He is there to be with you wherever you are, night and day. He is right alongside of you. The Bible uses the words for this: advocate, or friend, or helper, or intercessor, or counselor. The King James Version uses the word comforter. Comforter. Now think about that. Does anybody need a comforter? A comforter. And what does that look like, a comforter? I was sharing this story that I heard some years ago in our small group this week about what a comforter is. And I heard the story of this guy whose wife comes home and asks her husband, "Can I buy a comforter? Would it be okay if I buy a comforter for our bed?" And, you know, he's thinking, oh, that would be great, because, you know, a comforter is different than a bedspread, a thin bedspread. You know, a bedspread's about like this. A comforter's, you know, like this, right? It's this thick comforter. And so he gets this. So he says, oh, yeah, that'd be great. And he's thinking, you know, sure, a comforter, $49.95 at Walmart, you know. And no. She came home and she paid a big bill for this real nice comforter. He's thinking, you paid what? Well, you told me I could. So he looks at this thing and says, I'll tell you, that's going to be nice. When we get ready for bed, that's going to be awesome. I get to curl up under that warm comforter, and he just all day thinking about it. I can just imagine what's like, oh, that's going to feel good under that great comforter. And so when it comes bedtime, he goes into his bedroom and he looks around and it's missing. It's gone. And he's like, what happened? And of course, the wives right now are probably thinking, of course it's gone. And the ladies are saying, of course it's gone. And the guys are saying, what happened to it? Because we don't understand. And he didn't understand. And he says, well, where's the comforter? And he said, I'm ready to go to bed. She looked at him, you know. And that's what wives do sometimes. Look, come on, you know. And so she said these words. She said, it's not for us to use, it's for looks. And the wives say, of course, that's right. And the guy said, I don't understand. It's like towels. I got towels in my house that I can't use, right? They're for you. You could use them. They're guest towels, but I can't use them, okay? I got to find something else to dry my hands on. It's for looks. They look pretty. How many of you have right now in your bathroom, you've got this nice towel that hangs there. You don't use that. You use the one laying beside the sink, right? Don't mess up that guest towel. It's for looks. I wonder how many of us have this concept of the Holy Spirit. It looks good. I hear about it, but I don't really want him to be involved in my life. I don't want to really, you know, I don't want to be that close. How many, you know, in other words, I heard it in a song this morning, the doxology. There was a verse, did you catch that? There was a little bit of doxology in one of our songs. You know, the doxology, you know what that is? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you know. We'll have it there, but other than in the song, no one talk about a ghost, okay? So we distance ourselves from him. But here's the truth. He wants to be with us. Let me give you another thing. Another point of what he will do. Here's a second one. He will reveal the Bible to me. Reveal, that's the word revelation there. That's that when you read something and you've read it many times, but suddenly you read it and oh, that's good. What is that? Why has it changed? What happened there? That's revelation. That's when the light comes on, and that's the Holy Spirit that opens that scripture up to you, and there's a revelation. Actually, we understand that when that happens, there's a power attached to that verse that starts working inside of you. There's a power attached to that for it to be fulfilled in your life. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the difference between just reading a book and just reading the words and academically getting into your brain. Now there's a revelation that happens, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He comes to reveal. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So he is a teacher. He's the one that will reveal. And that's why it's important that we read our Bible and understand, because what does he teach? He reveals and reminds us of things that Jesus said. He's not going to contradict Jesus. He's here to reveal who Jesus is. And so we are living in a day. I just got to tell you, I have said this often. We live in a day where truth has fallen in the street. And Jesus even one time said, you do err not knowing the scripture. And what amazes me in the day in which we live is so many Christians that do not know what the Word of God teaches. And so, but not just understanding what the Word of God teaches, but having then a revelation of the Holy Spirit to really reveal truth and how that applies to our life today. And I want to tell you, in the day in which we live, there's a lot of misconstruing of scriptures, taking God's word and degrading it not to mean what it really says it means, so that this thing can fit into their lifestyle. And I got to tell you, we live in a day where we need the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to reveal what the Bible truly says. Okay, that's good. Give us a good amen right there. Somebody's clapping. Give me more than a golf clap, right? Amen. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal truth to us. We need the Holy Spirit. And so that's why you also need to read your Bible every day, so that the Holy Spirit has an opportunity then to bring that scripture alive and apply it to your life and change your life. Okay? Number three. I hope this is helping us. Number three, He will help me share Jesus with others. And I think this is His main function, actually. His main function. And that is to help us fulfill our mission. And what is our mission? Our mission is to win people to Jesus. As long as heaven is real and hell is real, this is the mission of the church, is to rescue people. Jesus came on a rescue mission to seek and to save that which was lost. We are on the same mission, and the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us fulfill that mission. It is the mission. He will help me share Jesus with others. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 26. It says, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. Again, this is Jesus teaching us about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will, look at this, He will testify about me. So He's going to be a witness. He's going to help you tell others about Him, so that when you're talking to someone, it's the Holy Spirit that gets involved in that conversation, and then there's revelation, there's the revealing of who Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us that ability, gives us the words to say, gives us the wisdom of how to present Jesus. And I got to tell you, that's what this thing is all about. It's not about your agenda or my agenda or building up this or that, or it's about winning people to Jesus. And I got to tell you, people have oftentimes made the Holy Spirit about many other things. And can I also just say that many people have made the Holy Spirit all about one particular manifestation or one particular gift? And we're going to talk about that in this series. I believe it'll be very helpful. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts, and we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit manifests Himself. But oftentimes, people have misguided the purpose of the Holy Spirit and think it's all about that. And honestly, I think it's a distraction that keeps us off of our mission. The early church didn't have just feel-good services. The early church, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, there were 3,000 people saved. Can I tell you, that's what this thing is all about. It's about winning people to Jesus. It's all about souls, everybody. It's all about people. Sorry to get so passionate here, but I believe that's the passion of God. The passion of God is about lost kids. Amen. The passion of God is about us reaching as a church people. And so we don't want to get misguided as to what this thing is all about. And because people matter. And people matter to God. This thing is about people. It's not about us feeling good and having a good time. And I'm glad that we get to feel Him and that He is real and experience that. But understand, the purpose is that we be empowered to reach lost people for Jesus. Amen. 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 It's about souls. And the Holy Spirit was poured out because He wanted to empower His church. The Holy Spirit was not given for your spiritual entertainment. He was given to empower you to complete His mission of making a difference in this world and changing the world. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit is given for. All right? Everybody okay? Amen. I mean, look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Look at what is said here. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, these are some of the last words that Jesus said before he has ascended to heaven. When they're saying, Lord, I want you to fix everything and that, and what about Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know all about that. This is what's important. And he says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Wait a minute. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will have phenomenal church services, and you're going to feel good and have a good time, and you're going to, you know. No, you'll be my witnesses. What? In other words, that's the purpose. That's the purpose of it. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. What is that? That's our city, okay? That's a city. So for us, it would be Charlotte. So you'd be witnesses in Charlotte, Concord, Kannapolis, right? Huntersville. There will be witnesses. And then in all Judea and Samaria, what's that? That's our region. That's America. That's our country. And then to the ends of the earth, that's our world. So God wants us to make a difference and reach people around us. The purpose of the church is not for church people. The purpose of the church is to organize ourselves in such a way and be empowered by the Holy Spirit that we can make a difference and then go on to be with Jesus for the rest of our life in eternity. Amen, everybody? That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. So he's going to help us share Jesus with others. Just trying to help us here. All right? Number four, he will convict me of sin. He will convict me of sin. I don't like that word convict now. I don't like that word. Well, it's not a bad word. It's not condemnation. See, the word convict is not just to make you feel bad. The devil wants to make you feel bad and he condemns you. But conviction is simply to point you to the way of life. It's to redirect our lives in a way that is best for us. So it's a positive, it's not a negative. And look at John chapter 16 and verse 8. Jesus said, when he comes, he will. Here's another, he will. He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So he's going to show you a better way. You're now going to have a spirit-guided consciousness. So the Holy Spirit will check you. Talked about this in our small group as well. He'll check you. He'll say, don't do that. I can't tell you, there's times that I can think of good things I could put on Twitter. I mean, line zingers, you're thinking, and this is going to be funny too. It's got humor all over, right? And you just want to send it. But then the Holy Spirit checks you and says, I don't think I'd do that if I was you. And here's what's wise. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Right? Not just Twitter. You could be in the kitchen talking to the wife, and you're thinking it, but you better not say it. And the Holy Spirit, if you'll listen to him, he'll be with you, and he'll check you and say, I wouldn't say that if I were you. I confessed some things to my wife yesterday. I told her what all I had to eat for lunch yesterday and all day long. She was on the phone with me, and she said, my mouth is open and my head is shaking right now. And I said, well, confession, you know, we're supposed to confess our faults one to another. I shouldn't put this out here on the internet, but anyway, I had two, is the Holy Spirit checking me right now not to say this? I had two hot dogs with ketchup and mustard. They were nasty, okay, they were from a convenience store. And I had slaw and onions and sauerkraut on that bad boy. And then I had put a chocolate cream-filled Krispy Kreme donut on top of it. Okay, wash it down with a cherry Coke. Take a Snickers candy bar with me just to give me energy later on top of that oatmeal cookie that I took from the house. And the night before, I had banana pudding. But bananas are good for you, right? So you got to be careful what you confess. But there are times in our life, though, and so I put all that out there to her. And that's why she said, my mouth is open and my head is shaking. And then by that evening, I was like, I don't feel too good, and I don't really understand why. But listen, the Holy Spirit comes to check us. And if we'll listen, before we send that email, before we tweet that tweet, right? Before we do that thing, the Holy Spirit will check us. And the thing is, and the enemy will say, oh, well, it won't do anything. It won't harm anybody. It's funny. And so he clouds it with humor, and we think that makes it okay. He masquerades and he hides behind that. But look, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And we would do well to follow the guiding of the Holy Spirit. He will point you in the right direction. Look at this last point I want to give you. And let me read a scripture. I'm going to read the scripture before I give you the point. Okay? I'm going to go to the scripture first, because I know how you are. You get that blank and you're closing it up. You're ready to go. So I'm going to give you the scripture first, and then I'll give you the point. All right. John chapter 16 and verse 13 says this, but he, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So what we're talking about here, we're not talking about fortune telling, but we're saying there is going to be a witness as he guides your life. When you're making decisions of what to do and where to go and what job and who to marry and where to live and all these things, there will be direction from the Holy Spirit. He'll give you a peace about his will. He'll guide you. Sometimes you can't even put it in words, but there's something within you that just doesn't. Something's not right here. Something's not right. There's a check in my spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit guiding our life. And when we have the Holy Spirit, he will guide us and he'll direct us into the right area of our life. And so that's your final point there. It's that is that he will guide me through life. He'll guide me through life. Write that down and then just bow your heads with me this morning. The Holy Spirit is very real. He is a powerful person of the Godhead. And you may sense even the Holy Spirit right now giving you direction about your life, where to go, how to move, what to do. And we need his direction. The best place on the face of the earth to be is in the center of God's will. And the greatest will of our Father is that we know his Son. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do. I get a little bit put out when people talk about the moving of the Holy Spirit and they limit it to one manifestation. And as if they don't see that one manifestation, then he hasn't moved. Can I tell you right now, one of the greatest moves of the Holy Spirit, I believe it's his main function, is to draw you to God, to draw you to the Heavenly Father. In fact, the Bible says you cannot even come to the Father unless the Spirit draw you. And so, even now, if you're sitting here or watching online and you're saying, I sense in my spirit that I need to move in the right direction. I need to have that intimate friendship, that intimate relationship with God. He's not my best friend right now. I need his companionship. I need his comfort. I need his peace. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you. And I would encourage you to respond to him. I would encourage you to open your life up to him and receive what he offers, which is Jesus Christ, and invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. Because the most important thing is that you receive Jesus, because he's the one that paid your bill. He's the one that paid your debt. And all you have to do is receive him. So today, if that's you and you need to go in a different direction, you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to lead you in a prayer. If you're here or if you're watching online, I want you to join us. If you're here in this building and that's you today and you say, that's me, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? And if that's you, say, include me in that prayer, Pastor. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. I'm just right where you are. I'm just right where you're seated. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. But if that's you, would you just slip up a hand and say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? God bless you. God bless you today. Yes, good job. Good job. And if you're watching online, you can let us know. You can email us at our website, however you want to do that. But I want you to join us today. Just stop what you're doing right now and just join us in this prayer. Just mean it. All you got to do is mean it. Pray it from your heart. Just say, pray a prayer like this. Just say, today, Lord Jesus. Come on, everybody. Let's do this. Let's pray it together for the support of those that need to pray this. Just everybody pray it out loud. And if you need to, you need to pray this, just mean it. Just say this again. Today, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come in my heart. Come live inside of me. Forgive me, Lord, for choosing my own way and not your way. God, I want you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Thank you for paying my debt so I wouldn't have to. Thank you for dying on the cross for me so that I could live. I accept your gift of life. And God, say this, I give you my life. And with all of my heart, I will follow you. Lord, right now I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer and that you've now come inside of them and you are today in this moment made them brand new. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. Lord, I bless them. I pray your guidance upon their life, that you would direct every step that they take. Help them with their next steps, I pray, Father. Holy Spirit, we open ourselves up to you. We invite you to come in. Guide us. We need you. We cannot do this alone. We cannot do this by ourselves. We need you. Forgive us, Lord, for possibly making fun of you and distancing you, Lord. Lord, we want to be close to you because you're good. Jesus said you're good. You're God and you're good. And we want everything you have for our life. Come, Lord, guide us, direct us, help us, Lord. Empower us to make a difference, oh God. Lord God, we pray for your revelation to come, Lord, that Jesus Christ would be revealed. And that through us, God, you would make an eternal difference in the lives of others. God, we'll give you all the praise, all the credit, all the glory for all accomplished. For it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, let's thank God for the best decisions made. Amen, amen.